Cashback saves you money on all your online shopping. Woolworths Online, Amazon, Maya, sorted. Visit shopback.com.au.
Hey, this is a harsh story, guys. I'm almost uncomfortable for reading this. I don't know if you've got it in front of you, but are you familiar with the pedestrian as a source of info?
Yes, I am. Yeah. They could improve their language. I've read a headline here. Going to work sick doesn't make you a top employee. It makes you a deep beep. Now, this is interesting because don't you think that things have changed? Now, over the last few decades, we've obviously got a huge flu increase at the moment, and we've got the death toll of people dying from the flu.
It's like 32 this year in Melbourne.
It's staggering and scary. And as someone who's pregnant, I had to have my flu injection. I had to have Trix injected. You can't mess around with the flu these days.
You know they're running out of the
vaccine?
Yeah. You've got to book in advance because some of the chemists don't have them.
I know. Well, because I think that's scary, and particularly when there are children that have died from this. I think everyone should be vigilant, parents, but also if you've got elderly relatives or neighbours, look out for everyone at the moment.
Right, so you're saying that.
Yeah, I'm saying all of that.
Right.
Why would I say that?
Well, you're at work sick.
Well, okay. Hang on a second. You know what? See, I grew up and when I started working, which was a couple of decades ago, the policy back then was you get into work and if you call in for a sick day, you'd better have a good excuse. And I had a boss when I started in radio. If I called in with a sore throat or I was sick, she would ring and demand I go and get a medical certificate and why I wasn't at work. And there are things you can do at work that don't involve your voice. Like I was sort of brought up with that sort of hard school of hard knocks. You keep working. But now.
Well, I told work next week, Boxy, I'm going to be sick. I have a week off.
Well,
that's more planning a holiday, isn't it? Really? Like that's still, planning to have.
Well, we don't know. It's an epidemic.
You're right, and maybe it's safer.
100%.
I mean, now that the instructions and bosses do say, if you have even a slight cold, please stay away, don't infect other people.
Correct.
So I'm just old school.
Well, there's a big thing.
I push through.
Well, old school all have the flu.
There's a big thing in schools about attendance now because they're cracking down on kids having days off.
Yeah.
And if the kids have too many days off, you get like a call from like the government saying.
The government?
Or whoever the
SWAT teams come in.
Whatever they are. Like the
governing body.
Body or whatever saying it because it's. Anyway, they're saying when your kids are sick, don't send them to school because they can infect the other kids.
Totally, I agree.
I reckon that's just a cop out a little bit. Like if you're really, really sick, have a couple of days off. But then if you keep them off, you get in trouble for having them off school. But if you send them to school, it makes other kids sick and then they. You know what I mean?
That's actually true.
I actually don't even know what I'm saying.
No,
I know
what you were saying, but you did contradict yourself.
Yeah. Did I? Yeah. I got lost. I'm thinking about my Uber Eats that's coming. I'm so hungry.
Well, I think maybe what's best for the whole show, Fev's clearly coming down with something. When you're away, maybe the whole show should go off.
Not the whole show, just next week. I feel weird. I've got a sore throat.
I just get the feeling that when I deliver this baby, Fev's going to have the flu.
100%.
101.9. The Fox.
Fev, should you mention, because I don't know if Fev heard the whole show yesterday, should you just mention what she may have missed yesterday?
I saw what happened. I saw it and I wasn't happy.
I'm so sorry. This is something that you've been hoping to enjoy for years.
From the moment I met Brendan Favola and I reckon the first few weeks of our friendship, you and I were talking about cooking because we both love cooking and you said you have a signature dish. And they are these marinated steaks. And I reckon over the last 3 years, I've been waiting. Mm. And we've talked about having a dinner party and we all sit down and we have Fev's marinated steaks.
We drove 3 hours to Mandalay and I left them at home.
You left them at home. Oh,
that's when we were living together in a resort.
Lived together and I forgot them.
I've been craving your marinated steaks all pregnancy.
Yeah. I don't think you can have them when you're pregnant anyway.
No, you can.
The stuff I've got in it, you might not be able to have.
Well, that's a hint.
What have you got in it? Salmonella?
Hooch.
Listeria?
Well, hoochie, what are you on about? Maybe there's some wine in it.
No, there's no wine, but I did make them yesterday, Boxy, because you were away, so we thought we've got George in. Why not?
Columbaris.
Make him some steaks. And This is what
you were out on the balcony with the barbecue.
Had a barbie, a dart, cooking steaks. I felt like it was a Saturday at home.
Yeah, he was here to talk about MasterChef, and obviously we just said, well, why are you here?
Why are you here?
The pledge he made at the start here, he will now regret. Have a listen to what he says right at the top of this from yesterday's show, Fief.
If they're that good, I will put them on the menu at Hellenic Republic in Brighton.
Now, George has taken his first mouthful. Now, please, let's give George plenty of space and let's get an honest assessment.
Can I tell you?
I love it!
Yay!
It's delicious. It's got... What are you marinating in?
Ah, that's the secret. Can't tell you that.
Hang on a minute.
I can't tell you.
George agreed that if it was good, he would put it on the menu.
So how's that going to work?
But do you know what that means?
What?
Mate.
He means cash.
Cash.
Right.
Yes, but Boxy, I was so nervous. Like I said, I've played in front of like 100,000 people.
Yeah.
I've been on TV shows. I've gotten nude in front of 2,000 women for the new Monty,
which comes out
soon.
Yeah.
Not scared, not at all. I was shaking because I really pride myself on these steaks. Like whenever I have a barbecue, whenever people are around, they always text me, "Are you doing the steaks?" I'm like, "Yeah, doing the steaks." That's the only reason they come, I think. Because my company's not much fun. They just come for my steaks, and I nailed them. But I will cook you some steaks once you have the baby.
So what's in your marinade?
I'll tell you what's in my marinade.
Oh, really? You're going to tell us?
Oh, no, sorry. Oh, my espresso has just delivered my food out the front, so I will be going to
get
it.
Did you get my banana bread?
Yeah, I did.
Excellent.
You were very easily distracted. You pretended that your phone went off. You don't want to tell us this
no,
recipe.
No,
I'm not telling my marinade. As I said, the Colonel never gave away his spices.
Did
he's made millions.
Have a guess what your marinade
was? He did
was?
Have a guess.
What do you think was in there?
He said some stuff. Like, what did he say?
Was he on the money?
He said some Asian sauce.
Oh, Chinese five spice?
He said something like that. And he said some other...
I reckon you've got cinnamon in them.
He said some other sort of syrup that I had no idea what he was even talking about. A lot of his lingo yesterday, I had no idea. Okay. It was a lot of chef talk.
All right.
Sriracha? You got that in there?
Yeah. You haven't tasted them, so how are you going to know?
I'm just guessing.
All right, okay. Well, it's got to go on
anyway,
the menu.
Anyway, they're amazing. It's going to go on the menu, and he wanted
to go on the menu.
He wanted to do Contra. I said, please, mate.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
So, guys, I want to talk about a pretty pertinent, controversial topic that affects us locally. Now, I was catching up with a friend of mine a few weeks ago who lives in Richmond, and I've spent a lot of time in Richmond. Feel like a lot of my friends live in Richmond. And she was saying that her car broken into twice in the past couple of years and she's not feeling as safe as she used to. And it was just an interesting chat because I said, why would you think that's happening? And she mentioned the heroin injecting rooms. And I was talking, somebody was telling me even who works here that they have live in the area and they don't feel as safe as they used to. Now, this is in the news today, these heroin injecting rooms that are in North Richmond. They've been there for 6 months, and the Coroner's Prevention Unit has found that there's been 25 fatal overdoses in the area, and that's the highest number in 4 years. So this is a trial, obviously, and it's in the formative stage, so the coroner is reluctant to make a call on it yet.
Well, obviously not working.
Well, it's a tough one, Fev.
I don't know if you know too much about epoxy, but when you go in and you're in a safe environment so you can shoot up, or is that what you say?
Do
they stay in that facility for a certain amount of time, or do they just shoot up and then walk on the street?
Well, this is the interesting thing, Fev. I don't know enough about the injecting rooms themselves other than the whole purpose is get people off the streets and doing it safely.
Doing it safely, but then they let them back out straight away. That's not safe.
Well,
do they get on their high in that place? Or I don't know.
Well, certainly not. It's not a prison, is it? I mean, you walk in and out of it.
This is the problem, and I'm not having a knock at you can't really knock at the health professionals and the governing bodies that are trying to help our drug epidemic.
Of course.
So this is they're giving it a shot, and it is a trial, and if it doesn't, and at the moment that's not looking good. To have the highest number of heroin overdoses in 4 years is not a good sign. But then what are the answers? It was interesting because when you said that, Feb, see, I know people live in Richmond that say they've never seen more sort of junkies on the streets.
Yeah.
So you raise a good point. When you go into this safe injecting room, then what happens?
How do the police allow this, though? I don't understand.
Why aren't they out the front?
Isn't heroin illegal? How are they purchasing it? You know what I mean?
Is it? They're methadone clinics, though, aren't they? Is it methadone?
So you just get it. You buy. You pay for it in there. Like you buy it in there.
Well, it's a grey area. It's a bit like pill testing at festivals.
I've actually, I had no idea.
It is a grey area because you almost have to make an exception to the rule to allow these people to get off drugs.
Do you know what I'd love to do?
I agree with the pill testing. I agree with that.
I'd love to open the phone lines 131060 for anyone who lives or works in Richmond and hear what you that's a community. So I know people that live in Richmond that are not happy about this and they're not happy with the kind of people that are now walking the streets necessarily. Yeah. And that, you know, that's a tough one too, because we're trying to help people. And, you know, I know there are people that don't have empathy for drug addicts, but there are people, if you've got a family member who's a drug addict, you know what an incredibly painful path and tragic path that is. So we've got to find answers, but Richmond, how are you feeling about these injecting rooms? Do you want to move? I've got a friend who's actually he's leaving Richmond because of them.
But could those stats be so drastically high for the fact that there is only one and it's in Richmond? And if there was more across Melbourne, would those numbers come down? There'd be less.
Well, it was junkies. City of Yarra. Those stats are for City of Yarra.
So, yes, so
like there was one in Springvale, there's one in Dandenong, there's one in Brighton. You know, there was more than one injecting
centre. So you're saying it's now attracting?
It's attracting more people to go there because they want to do it safe. So therefore, there's more deaths. But if that was spread across Melbourne, therefore there wouldn't be as many in the one spot. Do you know what I mean?
I do know. You know what? That's actually incredibly lateral thinking, which is impressive, Fev. I like what you did there.
Yeah, thank you.
Because there's everything more than one. If there was like 10, therefore so many people wouldn't go to Richmond. They'd be going to their areas that they're in and it wouldn't attract as many.
Well, I guess the point, though, for knockers of this program,
the people
you'd
have
say,
got to be knockers because their stats are so high. I know, but
if you're having these safe rooms, I guess a knocker would say there shouldn't be higher 100%. Death rates.
In any case, look, lots of calls are coming through, guys. It's a big topic. 13, 10, 60. We'll come to them after the break.
101.9 The Fox.
Talking about a bit of a serious issue that affects Melbourne, particularly Richmond, but, you know, Richmond is inner city. Richmond is not just for necessarily the residents who live in Richmond, but also there's cafes, restaurants, before the footy, people stream into Richmond all weekend. And we're talking about the controversial trial of the safe injecting room in North Richmond, which has been running for 6 months now. And the Coroner's Prevention Unit has just found that there have been 25 fatal heroin overdoses in the city of Yarra, which is the highest number in 4 years. So they're now having a good look at whether or not the safe injecting rooms are in fact a measure of safety for these addicts. And again, we just want to point out this is a really tough area, and anyone who has family members, friends that suffer from drug addictions, nobody's got the answers yet. And all you can do is trial things. But what we have noticed from people who live in Richmond, their crime rates increasing, people are being, their cars broken into, mugged. And I know a lot of people in Richmond who are wanting to leave because it's called a honeypot effect. What happens is one safe injecting room. Right. So there are people who are addicted who are flocking to the area
to get help.
And we know that a lot of those people then resort to crime because of their addiction. So, I mean, this is not a fun one, but we've got Brent from Yarraville. Hi, Brent.
Hi, how are you guys?
Yeah, good, Brent. Brent, now you used to live in Richmond, is that right?
Yeah, so I lived in Richmond for a couple of years and, it just got to a point where I guess me and my young family didn't want to cope with all of the drug paraphernalia that we were finding just scattered around the place.
Wow, like just needles and stuff everywhere? Or
needles, bags, spoons, burnt, that kind of thing. It just
You noticed a difference, Brent, in what was happening through the safe injecting room and the elements that was attracting to Richmond?
I noticed it probably about 6 months into living there, but I think this was just before the safe injecting room that there was an increase, but it just got to a point once that it opened that it just was, too much for me and my young family. I mean, I came home from the day that my son was born having not had much sleep and walked into my gated little area and there was someone crouched down under the stairs. So that was too much for me and that was it. We made a decision that, my family was better off out of there.
I wonder, Boxy, if what Brent was saying with all the needles and the spoons and stuff sitting around just on the streets, if the injecting room has cleaned that up because they're not actually doing it on the streets anymore, they're actually doing it.
Well, I don't think it has cleaned up because what's happening, Fev, is you've got people going into the safe injecting room, but now you've got more addicts drawn to the area because of the safe injecting room, but then they're continuing their behaviour outside of the injecting room. So, again, I don't envy the people who have been given the job of solving this problem. But we've got Adriana from Epping on the line. Hi, Adriana.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Good, Adriana. Now, Adriana, you've got a different perspective on this, haven't you? Because you've got a really sad story.
Well, yes. My name is Adriana, as you heard. My son died with a drug overdose 7 years ago at a festival. And since then, I have been a very strong advocate for drug reform and field testing. Now, I understand that, you know, the people in Richmond are you know, upset about over these things. But what they have to understand is that nobody wakes up one morning and thinks, I think I'm going to be addicted to heroin. You know, this is a health issue, not a real estate issue. And, you know, in the language like junkies and addicts, it goes a long way into, you know, painting a picture of these people that they're just not worth anything in society. And I think that's really wrong. I think the injecting room is providing a good service. And in fact, it should be supported by the community.
Adriana, and you know, we feel for you and what you've gone through. And I agree, you know, addicts are, they're somebody's children, they're somebody's brother, they're somebody's loved ones, and they've gotten themselves into this situation. And they're not wanting to be there. And then, you know, we do know there are cases where they spiral out of control and then resort to crime. And I think the tough one in this case, though, is with Richmond, because I'd say over the past decade particularly, more families, you know, there are people who are having kids in little small children in Richmond, and you can understand them not wanting to be exposed to that too. So it is a tough one.
It is a tough one, Boxy, because, you know, the perspective of Adriana, because she's lost a loved one and she wants to now try, how could I have prevented that? How can we prevent that? So she wants these where someone that doesn't affect thinks, I don't want that in my neighbourhood.
Oh, I know.
So there's massive differences.
Well, there is. And I think that's why it's bigger than, it's a big dilemma. It's a big problem.
Because I'd know if she said her son passed away at a festival. If my kids, you know, took drugs or down that path where they went, I'd love for them to have to go to a pill testing to make sure it was safe.
You want a solution.
I'd want a solution. Yeah. I don't want them taking a pill with, they've got nothing in it that they don't know and they could die, where they can go to a pill tester, get it tested and say, hey, this is okay. It's not okay to take drugs, but this is okay. You're not going to get killed.
Thank you for your call, Adriana, by the way. Yeah, we appreciate your call very much.
And then we've got Crystal Lee from Reservoir. Hi, Crystal Lee.
Hi.
Now, Crystal Lee, your nan, she lives in Richmond.
Yeah, she does.
And how is she finding Richmond to live in? How long has she lived there?
She's lived there for like over 30 years. And she just, like, she hates it. She has been physically attacked and she has a scar from ear to chin for the rest of her life.
Oh wow.
It is horrible.
Does she see it, Crystal? Was that a one-off, or what has she seen it? Is it every day? What's happening?
Oh, at least 2-3 times a day, she's having to tell someone to go shoot up somewhere else.
Oh man!
She walks in her gate at the end of the day, and sure enough, there's someone sitting there shooting up, washing their needles out. I have a 3-year-old daughter. I refuse to go up there because I'm just too scared to step on a needle, and they have no courtesy or dignity about themselves whatsoever. They just flush it out anywhere and do it, and it's not going to stop.
See, that's the thing, Crystal Lee, and it was really great that we heard from Adriana as well. So we've heard from Adriana, who's lost her son, and when you hear people speak of junkies, disrespectful, don't care, it would be hurtful, but by the same token, when you are dealing with that, and the truth is, when you are in the spiral of an addiction, you don't care.
You're
and
not
these
thinking
people
about
don't.
It. Yeah.
But there are people that are living in that community. So we feel for what's going on in Richmond. And I guess we'll keep an eye on this. The coroner has said that they're still going to continue with the trial. And we'll see where that.
That wasn't a fun one. Let's give it 10 grand, eh?
1019. The Fox.
Fev.
Yo.
Now, I have not given you an update on my gorgeous little puppy, Lizzie Rosie Cookie Box, for a long time.
Yeah. She hasn't been spoken about at all.
Well, no, she hasn't because, look, I've had a bit on, been pregnant, and obviously.
How's Lizzie taking that?
Lizzie's been fine, but because of my condition and my illness and everything, I've struggled. Like smells get me. I can't be, and unfortunately,
we had to pick one. They're like kids. You had to pick one. It's either Trixie or Lizzie.
No.
So you went with Trixie.
I love
good decision.
Them both, but I haven't been able to necessarily be active with Lizzie.
What's
and I
been
feel
unfortunate though? You said something was unfortunate with Lizzie. There's something about smells.
No, yeah, because the smell, like Lizzie, like the dog hair,
right,
can makes me vomit. Yeah. Like it's right. really strange.
Because your immune system gets shut down.
Yeah, everything's been a bit. But anyway, she's a gorgeous dog, and she's much loved. And
is
she? She's Lizzie's.
Well, you could talk about her more.
She's Trixie's best mate. Well, I'm bringing her up because I've gotten to a stage where I realise I'm about to have a baby in the house.
Right.
And
gonna give it away.
No, gosh, yeah. Never say that.
13, 10, 60. Do you want a cavoodle?
No.
She's
Lizzie
actually thinking. Hang on a second.
He's part of our family. No, but
we'll give her a good home. Give it to Mike Larkin. He finds a dog at home.
No, I don't want to give my dog away. I love my dog. But because I'm not a dog person, as everyone knew, I got Lizzie, and I didn't have much experience. Yeah. But bringing a baby into the house, I'm suddenly thinking, and people are just saying, "Are you ready? Is Lizzie ready for a baby?" And I'm right. like, I hadn't even thought about this because.
You can't have a dog in the house.
Well, yeah, she's a house dog. So I thought what I'm going to do, and I have over the last few weeks, is I've got myself a trainer.
You're pregnant, now, though. You've been training.
No, not me.
For her.
Not me. Dog trainer. Dog. Now, big shout out to Billy, who's been helping me. And anyway, when I had my phone consultation with Billy, I said, you know, we just had a bit of a chat, and I was like, look, Billy, I'm the boss of the house. Like Lizzie knows that I'm the boss and what I say goes. And then if I turn my back, like if I walk to the kitchen to get something, she jumps on the couch and eats Trixie's food.
Yeah.
But if I was on the couch, she wouldn't eat my food. Anyway, Billy, he came over and he did a bit of an assessment and watched the dynamic of the house. And there was Trixie and me and Lizzie. And he sat me down and I said, so what, you know, he said, she's a good dog. She is a really good dog and she's beautiful. But the problem is she has no respect for you. None. So, and he said, you know, that trust thing, the owner and dog have a trust relationship. You guys have nothing. And I thought because I'd go, Lizzie, like I do my low voice and I do, you know, say, get off the couch. She gets off. But then she just gets back up. So she doesn't
respect. But if you said that to me, it sounds like you're half joking.
Really?
Like, Lizzie, get off the couch. I'd be like, shut up, Mum.
Well, somebody told me at some stage, just lower your voice.
No.
Have you told Trixie to sit yet?
No.
101.9. The Fox. The Fox.
Byron, it's time for a regular segment. It's unfortunately regular, but it does keep happening nearly every day.
Social media.
Influencers on Instagram.
Influencers are in pain, guys. They suffer. It's not easy to wear a bikini or lingerie and take a photo of yourself every day in the mirror.
Filters.
Instagram goes down and your whole life falls apart.
Mayfair 2.
Valencia. Amaro.
Now, yesterday, Fev, I wasn't here and you did cover off my favourite story of the week, which is the couple, now the German couple
GoFundMe
that wanted
page.
The GoFundMe page. the guy, Catalan, the heavily tattooed man, he has now...
That's why he's not getting a job.
He's taken himself off Insta.
Yeah.
The backlash was too much for him.
Oh, he's done a Selena Gomez.
GoFundMe page. That's amazing. Just and he got defensive and he said, if you missed the story yesterday, he wanted this GoFundMe page to raise money so that he and his girlfriend could keep traveling the world and keep bringing our followers these amazing adventures. And
I think they're on a tricycle or something.
Yeah, wanted to ride their bike across the plains of Africa. Mm. Anyway, he's come back. Everyone said, hey, go and get a job. Actually, just go and get a job. And he said, he's come out and he's gone, my girlfriend and I, what we were doing is more important than a job. This is the problem with influencers.
Yeah.
You're not that important. Right. That's the problem.
So watch David Attenborough.
Stop thinking you're important.
He went point, yeah.
And earlier in the week, another influencer, Tammy Hembrow.
Who?
I don't know.
She does gym stuff for the active.
But she's got.
Byron knows exactly.
I'm quite well versed in
this
area.
You know Tammy.
Have you followed her? Are you
she's a Gold her? Coast model. Do you know who she was? She was the one that passed out at Kylie Jenner's 21st. And the Jenners.
They all unfollowed
they
her.
They all had to unfollow her.
So I think Mia's told me about this.
Yeah, anyway, she heard, one of my favourite things that happened this week, she heard a rumour that Instagram might get rid of likes, which would be amazing.
I read this.
That Instagram have contemplated.
Only for the people that follow you, you can see who's liked, but people that are outside
can't see who's liked it,
which is a great
initiative.
That'd
be great.
Do you know what? I would love to. I would genuinely love to get to speak to the CEO of Instagram and talk about...
Mark Zuckerberg.
I don't think... No, he hasn't got it.
Well, technically, he owns it.
Does he still own it?
Because Facebook
owns
it.
Facebook owns it.
Wow. Well, he's too busy making Bitcoin. He doesn't care. anyway... But I think, see, likes are now attached to mental health problems.
They are.
We've got to get rid of likes, don't
you? Yes.
Do you know what, guys? This is my message to any kids or people listening. If you've got a photo you like, just upload it. Don't even worry if anyone likes it. Who cares?
Well, in saying that, I've got an issue with Instagram. I'm done with Instagram because I'm still going to have it because I like it. But I'm done with it because everyone's overseas. I've got FOMO. But if I put, so it's my Instagram, right?
Yeah.
So I put a photo up of myself. Now, I've got a fair few followers. I could probably get like 3,000 likes.
Yeah.
I put a photo up of any other person in my family. Yep. That's like 15,000.
Yeah.
I don't like it hurts.
Oh, why don't they like my? It's, put
it,
a photo
it's
of
my
you.
Instagram. I don't understand.
So Toby, cute baby.
Oh, Toby gets like 45,000.
Yeah, babies
likes.
Equals likes.
Yeah, but I'm talking kids as well and Alex. As soon as I'm in it, nothing. It's my page. I don't understand.
Yeah, maybe people just don't like you.
That's what I'm saying.
Isn't it?
Get the likes off.
That's the fox.
No more likes.
I never got to my Tammy Hembrow story. Don't worry.
We'll get there.
Don't worry.
We'll get there another day.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
Bev, you are the father of four daughters.
Yes.
I am the mother of one, possibly two. We'll see what comes out in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
But I will have two children. But as a father of four daughters...
Yeah.
I need to start turning to you for answers because Trix has gotten, so she's just turned six and just gotten to a very curious stage.
Ooh.
And she asks me questions and it's happening more and more. And I've got baby brain, which doesn't help. Well, I can't answer her. And I honestly
don't.
So you've
got the best person to ask is me.
Well, I figure.
Never did I think you'd ask me about advice.
These are desperate times.
I figure you would have been here and you know me, you know, I like to think that I know the answers to things, but kids will hit you with a curly one,
they
and you
just
go,
chuck them out there. Really
"I don't know what to
her.
Say." So, okay, in bed last night, and she's got me. So she's one of those kids that's really hard to get to sleep, and I do that. No more talking. Just lie still. Mummy will give you know, scratch your back.
Yeah.
Anyway, then she'll just come out with a question, and I go, "Oh, I don't know how to answer it." Here's
just
this
go,
one,
just
Fev.
Go.
Well, I should. Okay, I got this one last night, Fev, and I would like you, Brendan Favola, to tell me the answer to this question because I genuinely don't know.
Okay.
Mummy, how did the first ever person get born?
The first ever person got born. You just talk about dinosaurs and you just carry on about dinosaurs and Tyrannosaurus Rex and the world.
But she raises a good point. Like, how did you, if you need
you
two
don't
people
you don't actually
to
answer,
have a baby.
You don't actually answer the question. You go on about other things and you beat around the bush. By the time you're finished,
she's fallen asleep. Okay, I love
good
that.
Tip.
That's a very good parental tip.
Because that's a question you probably can't answer without telling fibs.
Now, as a full-grown adult woman, can I ask you the question, Fev?
Yeah.
How did the first human get born?
Well, it was Giovanni Favola back in the day. he was on a boat and he just
how did the boat? How was the boat there? No one was around.
Do you know what I mean? Like...
What?
You don't know.
Well, who built the boat?
You don't know.
Well, he was the first person.
Yeah, but how would you know that?
So
could have been something
you need,
else.
This is chicken and egg stuff, though.
Sea sponge.
This is chicken and egg.
What comes
first?
We all evolved from the sea sponge.
Who was that first person, though? And how did they get here?
Eve.
Well, no, that was Adam, and he made Eve from his rib, apparently.
Mmm. Did it.
Where's the sponge? What's the sponge?
The sea sponge. Mate,
what's the sea sponge theory?
Oh, you people have got no
sense. Talk us through
sense.
The sea sponge.
You've got no idea about history. Go back to the books, have a read. Sea sponge.
If I type into Google
sea
sponge.
And then get back to me when you're half smart as me.
101.9 The Fox.
Now, Fev, we're approaching school holidays.
Yes, we are.
And you were talking about this because your girls have got quite a few weeks off.
Yeah, they've got like three and a bit weeks off. It's a
That's a lot of holidays, isn't it?
They go on holidays on Friday at, I don't know, 12:30. Got pizza day. Had to book that yesterday. A lot of booking goes on.
Well, there's a funny thing. There's a lot of, now more and more, opposed to when we were at school,
yeah,
you also get these
like
fancy school camps as well.
Oh, camps.
Have you noticed since we were at school, excursions, for instance,
they've really
just
up their
gone
game.
Next level?
Well, do you know where I went, Boxy?
Where did
my
you
grade
go?
Three camp, first ever camp, went to Poo Wong.
I went to Warrnambool, Kangarubi. I reckon everyone went to Kangarubi.
Kangarubi, that's right.
I stayed
passage.
Down at Summers, down at the Summers camp. I went there. That was like a grade six camp.
Yeah,
I got that Summers feeling.
Summers.
Get to see it every morning. Oh, God.
We went to the Grampians.
I went to the Grampians in year 8.
I reckon everyone
went
to the Grampians.
That was for outdoor ed. And we did outdoor ed because, no, it was year 11.
And we
actually.
Went to Wonthaggi.
One thing.
Just a lot of Gippsland, really. I think our school budget went as far as Gippsland.
Now the kids are going overseas. Like, my kids go overseas for their trips. I think, Leon, you went to Bali for one of your school excursions.
Yeah, for grade 5 at the Lilydale West Primary School, went to Bali.
Grade 5?
Amazing.
Do you know, it's funny, Trixie, they went on an excursion recently to Bunnings, and I was wrapped with that.
Get a snack. Do you know why they call Poo Wong Poo Wong?
Why?
131060.
No.
You've heard this story.
That's not the phoner.
Call me up.
Do you know, I've got a story about it. Do you know when I was at school? So I was at Tin Turn out in Ringwood, and we went to a... We had a school excursion, and back then, I don't even think... I'm just going to let him get Poo Wong out
get
of your system.
Get your Poo Wong out of your system.
No, I'm waiting. Okay? I'm listening to you.
No, do your little toilet thing.
No, it's not. This is what we got told.
Actually, don't do
when
it.
I went to Poo Wong.
I'm about to tell a sad story, so I just need
okay.
you.
Tell me a sad story.
Okay, so.
I'll be the judge.
It was, I was in about grade 6 and we were being taken, we were studying history and family history anyway. The school decided to take us on an excursion to Warrandyte Cemetery, the Warrandyte Cemetery out there in Warrandyte. Thank you, Byron. That's appropriate. Anyway, we were all in the bus and all the kids started filing out into the cemetery. And unfortunately for the staff and the teachers in grade 6, who didn't realise my papa had only passed away 3 weeks earlier and he was actually buried in that cemetery.
Oh, that's really
so I was hysterical and I was faced with my papa's grave on my school excursion.
Why would you say that story?
Why would you share that?
My poo
we were talking about excursions.
Well, my poo wrong story is about a death too, but it was funny.
What was your? Where was the death in your story? Yours was about poo.
No, absolutely not.
Anyway, 131060.
No, you don't.
It's a dad
131060. Let's talk school excursions. A couple of areas, elaborate ones. Like, let's find the most impressive school excursion.
I'll drop the sad music.
Yeah, we're done with that.
Sorry.
Or just like where maybe memories of your school excursions.
Memories, happier ones. Happier
ones
memories
that went wrong, like mine did.
Okay, ones that went
wrong. I mean,
wrong.
You don't take a 12-year-old to a cemetery when her papa's just passed away.
You certainly don't. That's outrageous.
You check. You
surely
check
people
with
went to Poo Wong. They know the story.
I beg your pardon?
131060.
Did you say papa went to Poo Wong?
No, I'm saying surely people know the story about Poo Wong.
We don't joke about any of this stuff.
I got a good joke for you off air about a cemetery. I'll tell you off air.
Yeah, definitely off air.
Do this anymore.
You might need to take
you're
a break.
1019.
The Fox. School excursions for kids these days, they're just getting more elaborate and fancy. And Fev and I were just reminiscing the days when we were at school and he went to Poo Wong for a camp and I went to the Warrandyte Cemetery.
Yeah. They went to Summers Camp down at the Peninsula. That was a good camp.
That's where
grade 6.
Excursions were at.
Yeah, it was so
back
cool.
then.
I'll never forget that camp. That was like the best camp.
Was that the one that involved...
It was grade 6.
Oh, no, sorry. That wasn't year 11 camp.
No, year 11 camp.
The outdoor ed.
Outdoor ed camp. That was
camp.
We
shouldn't talk about it. But we've got Amy from Narre Warren North. Hi, Amy.
Abseiling. Okay.
Good morning, Steve, and Barry.
Yeah, nice. Amy. Actually, imagine if we made that a thing, that when you called in the show, you had to sing our names.
Well,
I love that.
It would really fatigue very quickly. It would be awful.
Anyway.
you'd be sick of it within about 5 minutes.
Amy, was this an excursion or camp that you went on?
I went on a pretty elaborate camp. Well, the choices we actually got to pick from. So we could either go to the Whitsundays, New Zealand, Thailand or India.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's...
And that was for a year 9 camp.
Yeah.
That's cool. Which one did you pick?
I picked New Zealand.
Yeah, I could see that.
That would have been...
Because I've got family in New Zealand, so I'm like, I got to see them as
two
well.
Two birds,
as well.
One stone.
That's it.
Which Sunday sounds like a bit of fun, though, doesn't
it's
it?
It's just a holiday.
Dream Island?
Yeah, my kids in year 9 go overseas. It's
ridiculous.
Awesome.
I don't know if I want my kid going overseas.
I don't like it.
Tegan, thanks for that, Ames. Tegan in Sunbury. Hi, Tegan.
Hi.
Now, Tegan, you are 15 and you have been on a very elaborate school camp.
Yes.
Where'd you go?
I went to NASA in America.
Oh. Sorry, what?
You went to Florida.
Yeah.
Did they show you how they didn't really land on the moon?
Oh.
No.
Fev believes it's a conspiracy. Yeah.
What do you think, Tegan?
I'm not really sure.
So, Tegan, that's Rose Hill Secondary College in Nidri. Well
didn't
done, Rose
Didn't ask you that at NASA,
Hill.
Did they?
No.
So we've really got bogged down in the conspiracy here. I mean, the main aspect of this is it was a very elaborate trip.
I went to NASA. My favourite part, you could get this like this ice cream that like floated.
Yeah.
It's just a that's just at the snack bar.
Space.
Well, that's just go to Wendy's. I mean, why did you have to go to NASA?
It was like astronaut's ice cream, and okay. I really enjoyed it.
Right. Was it nice?
Yeah, it was like it melted in your mouth.
It doesn't their food like ice because cream. You know, I always wondered with an astronaut. Like,
oh God!
Like, how do they do ones and twos? Like, what do they do?
Well, they've got toilets.
But they're floating.
No, there'd be a way to strap yourself in. You could strap yourself into a toilet.
No, but if you did a number two, like a poo,
yeah,
and it's falling, you can't strap the poo in. It's going to go up
you're
first.
Not just doing it in the air, you're going into a.
No. When you're in the space,
zero gravity. When you're actually out of space.
Oh, don't do your poo out there. Wait till you're in the toilet.
No, but even if you're in the shuttle. And you're up there. You're still floating around.
No. You go into your toilet. They've still got toilets in space shuttles.
Yeah, but you'd be floating.
No. You can strap yourself in.
Yeah,
like
but, no, but when you do
chair.
The poo, that's not strapped in.
No, you're
strapped. That's going for a swim.
I guarantee you are strapped onto a toilet.
I get that, but it's still going to come up. Yeah.
No, it's going to get sucked down. Suction. Yep. I've been to NASA, man.
Remember when you got into an argument about what happens when you poo in outer space?
Yeah, well, I'm just intrigued.
We'd love to get to Stephanie's call. She was involved in a year 9 school camp in Samoa where 27 people were quarantined.
Whoa.
That sounds quite dramatic. And Oriana also is ready to go with Fox FM's 3-for-all. Hey, just quickly, guys, but before we wrap up, no, we can't. I was about to say we can take some final guesses for our CD collection, but they closed at 9.
It just finished. Oh, but we have something really exciting tomorrow.
Do you want to tell the answer?
No, don't say how many CDs are in it.
Okay.
To win the whole library, if you can guess how many are in the collection,
one
you win it.
One of my all-time favourite songs that Fox has ever played. In fact, I played it as a banger a few months ago and it went absolutely off. This was one of the highest-selling singles in Australia by an Australian artist at the time. This is huge. The song. Oh, there it is!
Oh, Jackie's coming in.
Well, Joanne is coming
Joanne
in.
Joanne is going to be performing Jackie for us tomorrow.
We cannot wait. I tell you what, that Joanne with BZ CD.
Jackie.
That'll be right at the top of the pile of the massive library.
That takes me back to Rosie's.
Oh, God. Oh, I love
Rosie's.
That song.
Did some of my best work.
All right, here we go.
Shopback saves you money on all your online shopping. Woolworths Online, Amazon, Maya, Sorted. Visit shopback.com.au.